Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I'll
everyone. Okay. Excuse me. Welcome everybody to our Tuesday night call. It's March the 7th, 2017, 3 months into the best year of our lives. And we welcome all of you to the call tonight. And Dr. Lolly, I know you have some great information for us, and there's some other testimonies on the line too. And we welcome you all to the call tonight. Hello.
Hey, Ida, we thank you for being one of the greatest archangels in the city and on the airwaves tonight, and certainly to our master engineer, Mr. Jonathan Hill. We do so appreciate him giving us this segment of on Nathan on the Spot every Tuesday evening at 9 o'clock. Is Angel on the line tonight? Well, my day began talking to Angel about destiny and what was happening in North Carolina by accident. I got a Facebook message from her just to say hello, and I went to Facebook her back. Somehow, my finger hit the video clip, the video button, the video chat button, and there I was in my pajamas talking to Angel so early in the morning, right about around 8:30, and I wasn't awake. And it was so wild because I'm sitting up there looking at the screen on the laptop, and there my face is, and I'm in somebody's living room or office, And I didn't know where I was at and what was going on. And I'm like, what am I doing in these people's house? Did someone just call me and they're looking at me? And when the woman looked up, it was Angel. And she was like, Dr. Lolly, oh, just get thinking about you. I was just going to call you today. I said, well, this is a divine moment because I don't know how my finger clicked the call button on the Facebook Messenger, and voila, here I am in front of you in my pajamas. So my day started off wild. This is going to be interesting. Take the time to thank everybody that's on the call tonight who interrupted their schedule, you know, in the frigid weather of Canada and certainly in the weather in the United States. Some days it's spring, other days, you know, it's frigid and we're back in winter. But where I am today, it was a beautiful 81 degrees, and I was so happy to get thawed out that I didn't know what to do. So I've been gleeful all day long. I want to thank my Canadian family for being on the line tonight. I want to thank my Columbia University family that picks up the MP3 from time to time to listen in on the show. I want to thank my U.S. family from coast to coast, and certainly to the delegation of medical doctors who are in the United States from Nigeria who are listening in and intrigued by what they've heard and what the videos that they've watched on these children and how they're managing their seizures with the technology. I want to start by saying this radio show is an educational forum. We are here to talk about emerging trends in environmental health and to service the people who work as environmental health physicists so we can all be on the same page with one common goal. And that is to preserve the legacy of health and longevity that God intended for all of us to have so that we're able to live a long, healthy life that is not cut off prematurely because of some disease caused by a sick, toxic environment. And having said that, I wanted to dedicate tonight's show to empowering you. But before we get into tonight's show, usually we do testimonials at the end of the show, but my Canadian team has been in touch with me, and they were like, Doc, so much is happening up here. And I have three medical doctors who have arthritis and cellulitis. They're all seniors, 55 years old and older. I gave them all nanos to try, and every single one of them, pain reduced, 2 out of 3 is pain-free in 3 weeks. And they are so excited about how the technology supports pain management until they are developing their own protocols around it. These nanobiobalancer bioharmonic flat batteries were never invented to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. They are electrical safety devices designed to block static and to help balance the electrical frequency so that your body is able to resist absorbing it. They are double gold medal for one for the United States in the international competition and the other one from the Church of God in Christ for our pulpit safety campaign. The first one was from IMPEX, which is the oldest, largest, most prestigious engineering inventors competition in the world. So we're ecstatic that so many people are doing so many things with the technology, and every single week it's like a new trend emerges. So we have the distinct honor to have Lynn on the line, who's an angel in the city up around Montreal in the Quebec province of Canada. And after the miracle that happened to his wife, she had a brain tumor that disappeared after their their angel across the lake, the environmental health physicist practitioner, Mr. Rod, came over and educated them about static in the house, electromagnetic frequencies, how to reduce it, how to retrofit so that you make your home safer, and voila, a miracle happened. So without delay, I want to introduce to some Mr. Lynn from Canada. Lynn, I have gotten a couple phone calls about what's going on in your world, so tell us what's happening.
Well, other than Rita's testimonial and Brian's, I met this lady who has spinal stenosis.
Wow.
Yeah, and she was in so much pain, her husband didn't know what to do anymore because she was on gabapentin, 300 milligrams, four times a day.
Wow.
That's her doctor prescribed that for pain. And she also wears a belt with magnets. And so they asked me if I'd go to their house. And so I went to their home, and I looked at the lady. Her name is Jovette. And I asked her if she could do me a favor and take off her belt, in which she did. And I asked Rita to put a flat battery on her back. So she put it on the left side of her spine. And within an hour, she felt a lot less pain on that side, but still on the right side. So I asked Rita to put another one on. So we put one on each side of her spine. And within about 2 hours, her pain had gone a good 70%.
Wow.
And after 4 hours, she was feeling much, much better. And she would have trouble getting through her day, and she couldn't walk too much because of the pain. Her legs would feel like 300 pounds each.
Wow.
So now what's happened is she's at least 80% pain-free and doesn't wear a belt. And she doesn't wear her belt anymore. And she used to take Tylenol also, which that's out of the question now. And she has no more tingling in her legs either. And she has plenty of energy. And
now, that is almost the same testimonial that one of the doctors had, Dr. Allison. She had some kind of vascular, bone, muscle, inflammatory process in the shin of her right leg that had been there for months and months, like 6 months. Nothing they did would bring resolve to it. Soon as she put the flat batteries in her shoes, and at one point she stuck one on, I guess a Band-Aid, and put it right on the location. To her amazement, she said within 3 days, all the swelling of 6 months was gone out of the leg, and then she's pain-free. And she is ecstatic. She had me over to her house training her and another of her practitioners to put together a model and bring this whole care into their clinic. And I'm just too excited about what is happening with people exploring to use this for pain management. But this would be interesting to observe with her. People who wear magnets, after you wear magnets for 30 days, they can actually cause calcium to start coming out of the tissue and out of the bones. And so people who use magnet therapy for prolonged use really should be evaluated for high calcium levels in the blood, because it can disassociate calcium in the body and create an imbalance, especially with calcium and magnesium. And it can make people start having pain in Charlie horses. You see, some people wear magnets in their shoes, magnets, you know, around their knees, magnets around their calves. Well, magnets should be used intermittently. You wear it on a day, off a day, on a day, off a day. But to use them continuously for a period of 30 days may work adversely. So the very fact that you educated her about, you know, isolating systems. You had to take the magnets off so she could really isolate and see how the flat battery bioharmonizer would work. Because what we do know after spending 3 days with these electrophysicists from NASA, that the body is very vulnerable to absorbing static. And when you have some injury in your body, back injury, leg injury, knee injury, calf injury, any type of injury in your body, and you absorb static, it goes immediately to the point of weakness in the body. And it can make sustained pain and swelling. That's why our whole goal has been, this whole campaign has been, to lower stray voltage in houses and decrease the microsurge of static in the electrical devices and electrical system in the house, because we know that it can exacerbate, it can make disease entities worse. And what the new research is showing, when you have diabetes and you're in a home with a lot of static, it can actually exacerbate your diabetes and throw your blood sugars in the 400, 500, or 600. And that's what we've seen with Brian. And we've seen that with a lot of diabetics. So that is such a fabulous testimony. We have to get her on the airway and share that, because these doctors want to archive any testimonials that are coming on the show that deal with pain management and looking at the various ways people are discovering how they're using this technology at the point of need. So this is really, really, really valuable. And in fact, tonight's show may give some insight to her situation as it relates to her environment. Tonight I wanted to talk specifically about the International Classification of Diseases. I've been on a radio show, and I've been talking to various marketing strategists about moving us forward. We have our business development team now.
Don't get
and one of the things that was said was that they wanted me to talk more definitively from the perspective of the industry and how this whole thing was emerging, so that we are basically speaking in a way that we're presenting the facts, we're presenting the movement, the campaign to promote healthy homes, so people don't just think, you know, this is Dr. A's campaign out here. You know, Dr. A is wild. I had occasion to have lunch with one of my goddaughters that I had not seen in 25 years last Monday. And she's good friends with a number of my nieces. And it was interesting, they had this conversation and it came up, they said, like, our Aunt Rhoda is like, she's gone wild. She's talking about the environment, things zapping and making people sick and blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's just almost hilarious to watch her talk about things that are out in space. But when I came and showed them the Promoting Healthy Homes document, I hope everyone has copied that document down from the internet. Because with the new administration, there is a major attack against the Environmental Protection Agency and even the recommendation to take it down and to annihilate it and destroy it and dismantle it. And that's got everybody holding their breath, because that's the only watchdog of accountability for keeping our community safe. And there are so many businesses now that they're polluting the rivers, they're polluting the lakes, they're polluting the streams, they're polluting the sewage, they're polluting the airspace, and they would rather pay the EPA $50,000 or $100,000. And if they take that, I mean, they're already polluting and would rather pay the fine than to invest in neutralizing these acids that they're releasing in the air and the sewage and the water and the soil so we all can live. I mean, this is about evolution of the entire community, because all water systems are connected some way or another. A little brook is connected to a lake someplace. A brook is connected to a stream that's connected to a lake that's connected to a river. And eventually it goes out to the ocean somewhere. And so we're killing the fish, the alligators, the Florida, the Wildlife Protection Agency in Florida is concerned that there's so much synthetic estrogen in the water and in the landfills and contaminating the land that the alligators and the crocodiles are not going through the full process of maturation. So therefore, they don't become fertile and they don't reproduce. And that's rendering them to become extinct. So tonight I want to empower you with a strategy. And when you go forth, now I'm going to give you this code in ICD-9. Because I've been so busy, ICD-10 resources were so delayed in coming out that I haven't had a chance to convert it over. But everybody has Google, and everybody has access to a computer, even if you have to go to the library. And all you have to do is put ICD-9 and ask in Google and ask for the conversion to ICD-10. The information is still the same. ICD-10 may give a little bit more definitive information, but tonight we're going to work with this code. And that code is, everybody got your pencil? Because I want you to print this code off in ICD-9 and ICD-10. So you'll have it in your face. This code is 994.8. I'm going to say it again, and I'll say it a little bit slower. 994.8. So when you look it up in Google, you're going to say, I like international, C like Charlie, D like dog, 9, the number 9, like 8, 9, 10, the number 9, and then you're going to put that number behind it, 994.8. When you plug that into Google, you're going to be blown out of the river, out of your living room, so maybe out of your office. So maybe before you put that in your computer search bar, you need to go find a seatbelt and seatbelt yourself in the chair. Now, this is the code for non-fatal electrocution. Now, it's like the code would be if you were working in an office and you had plugged something in, and you went to unplug it and fire broadcast out of that electrical socket, and you got burnt by the fire and possibly by the high EMF microsurge static. When you read the summation, this, if you have your computer in front of you, just put it in there. Because I want to read some things to you. I have it pulled up in Google. And I want to read this one here, this reference here. This is a 2015 version of ICD-9/CM994.8, Electrocution and Non-Fatal Effects of Electric Current. And just a little caption. This is at www.coding/pro.com. And this is just a little caption they have coming up in Google. They say that this ICD-9 CM code details and notes the short, this is a short title, effects of electric current. First of all, number one, this is a diagnosis. This is a medical diagnosis. ICD-9 stands for the International Classification of Diseases. This is a diagnostic code. Are you ready for this? That insurance companies will pay doctors to diagnose and then manage the diagnosis. So it's billable and it's reimbursable for a doctor to manage people with electromagnetic hypersensitivity. Blue Cross Blue Shield has classified this diagnosis under idiopathic environmental illness management. Idiopathic environmental illness management. So doctors can be paid to evaluate patients for electromagnetic hypersensitivity. So when people start saying you're crazy, there's no way electricity can hurt you. This is a wild child, somebody with a wild statement, with a runaway train, that doesn't know what they're talking about. Here you have a statement, and you can reference it on Google, at coding-pro.com that says this is a billable diagnostic code and insurances should pay for it. Now, keep reading. It said this code applies to shock from electric current or shock from a taser gun. But it does not apply to burns from electricity. Now let's go back a little bit. This applies to shock from a taser gun. How many news stories have you heard about the police tasing somebody and they died? There are endless stories to the point that many police departments have now have task force to evaluate whether or not they will continue to use taser guns. Because if you have a low magnesium level and somebody tases you, they can put you in a cardiac arrest and make you have a heart attack and die. It's amazing to see that there's even any discussion about a taser gun can hurt you, because here it is in diagnostic medical code that it can. It can electrocute you. Wow. Now, let's read some more. Let me just go peruse up through here. This talks about, if you continue to read in some of this language, it references the fact that you can have a skin rash from electrical current, that you can have short-term memory loss from electrical current. You could have irregular heart from electrical current, from being exposed to electrical current. You could have a rapid heart rate. You could have an irregular heart rate. How about this one? You can have convulsions. Does that sound like seizures to you? So we've been talking about all of this for a year now. And here it is in the same book that medical doctors diagnose and manage diseases from. You have the code. You have points of reference here on Google. So the argument is over with. On the radio show that I was on, Radio 1, WOL out of Maryland, Keeping Up with the Joneses, this question came up continuously, even from the interviewer, both on the air and off the air. People were saying they thought this was kind of a wild discussion without any solid foundation to it. And I said, no. This is in codes, but we do not use these codes in the United States. We don't reference environmental hazards that cause diseases. Oh, they might do it for asthma. Everybody knows dust and chemicals in the air can exacerbate or worsen an asthmatic and cause them to go into an asthma attack. But this is so profound. There are so many references here on ICD-9 and 10 codes around this non-fatal electrocution that Google, let me see how many Google has. Google has over 100,000 articles talking about non-fatal electrocution and what it does to the body. But when I saw convulsions, remember we had one of the medical doctors that was on talking about the electroconvulsive therapy and the movie One Flew Over a Cuckoo's Nest, and how many people had cardiac arrest and died while they were giving them shock treatment. So we really have to celebrate. We really have to celebrate the work of OSHA and their document. Everybody should have this booklet as a weapon of mass destruction, so to speak. It's called Controlling Electrical Hazards in the Workplace. This booklet that you can download from the internet that OSHA put out speaks to the fact that electrical current and electromagnetic frequencies can demineralize the body and take your heart out, causing you to have blood vessel disease and heart disease. Now, that's OSHA saying that. And the EPA has been saying that for the last 7 years, that 1 in 3 persons, including children and adults, have blood vessel disease or heart disease. So now that you've been informed and now that you have more artillery going forth, I want you to intentionally be observant of your emotions. I told you I've been getting on this morning call with Affirmation Nation, listening to all these millennials as they begin to stir up their mind, stir up their soul, affirm their day, and get a positive disposition going forward. And there's one thing. There was a little inspirational piece that this young man named Hazik said, talking about offense, talking about how people are so offended, easily offended, and how we have a whole culture that loves to render offense, and how one of the greatest skills we can give our kids is how to deal with offense. One of the greatest oppositions that you have advocating for environmental health is the offense of others who, number one, think you're a lunatic. Number two, they don't want you to touch them or tell them nothing because they don't believe anything in the environment could possibly make them sick. Number three, that they think you are a fake, a fraud, a big scam artist. So they want to slander your name. Number four, there's just some people that are couch potatoes. They don't want to be about nothing, and they don't want you to be about nothing. They don't care about the future, and they don't want you to care about the future. They don't even care about their own children, and they don't want you to care about your children. They want nothing out of life, and they want to kick you to the curb and in the teeth if you want something out of life. And so this young man has given at least four different lectures on offense. And it wasn't until the second to the last one that it really, really, really hit me. When you become an angel, and I feel you've tuned in tonight and you've been diligent to try to support me and work on keeping your community healthy, the beloved community, as Martin Luther King would say. He said, if we become keepers of each other, how much stronger would we be, and how richer our children would become because they've been nurtured by love from many races, many creeds, many walks of life, many perspectives. We have validated the deity of their existence in the earth to find the problem, find the solution, and solve it. So I want to strengthen you tonight, because there's great offense in the pursuit of educating people about being healthy and mobilizing people forward about having a higher consciousness of, number one, what kind of chemicals are in your community, what kind of radiation is in your house, what kind of radiation is in your soil. Knocking on doors at Parliament and the legislators, you know, at Congress in the United States, to ask senators to stand for environmental safety and keep the EPA open and keep the regulations at a highest standard so that we are all living and we're not dying and we're not mutating cells. So children are getting cancer in the wombs of their mothers and dying in the first year of life. We have to be intentional when people are calling us names and lying on us and saying all manners of evil against us. And so I'm going to give you the strategy. How do you deal with offense?
Next.
You deal with offense with love and forgiveness. I was blessed. There is a church in the United States that is the largest mega church on the East Coast. It built the first 10,000-seat sanctuary on the East Coast. It has four generations of ministers. And so the church was passed from one generation that managed the church to the next generation of children that grew up to pastor the church to the next generation. Now we're on the third generation of pastors. And what happened was this family had three sons. And all of them were ministers, and all of them were excellent. And so something tragic happened. Well, while this campus was being built, because they put up $50 million worth of buildings at once. They built a school, they built a college, and they built this huge, massive sanctuary and a chapel and an administrative building. So they erected five buildings at the same time. The father died. The bishop died. Well, the wife was co-pastor with him, so she took over the ministry with the eldest son. The church was still in construction. There was so much stress from the offense, people being jealous and all of this, that the oldest son died 6 months after the father died. But the mother was still in place. She was still the pastor. So the next oldest son and the youngest son were all co-pastoring with her. The middle son was also the minister of music of a 500-member choir, 500 voices. This church had 18,000 members. And so the church got built, and they were in the church for 2 years, and now the second son dies at 44 years old. So that left the mother and the youngest son. And they're in the church another 6 years. And then the mother gets lymphatic cancer. They've got this big operation going on because now they've acquired the industrial park across the street, another $60 million project, and they brought a farm a mile in the other direction that had about 100 acres, and they have erected the largest community for seniors in the entire state where this church is. And so it's the mother and the son. The mother was kidnapped, or so the story is alleged, that the board of directors put her in a hospital. She wasn't, not the best hospital, but a little small hospital. Documents were forged and changed. And when she died, within 6 weeks, of course, the youngest son was already installed as pastor. He goes to become pastor and be installed officially. And the police show up at the church that he has served all of his life. He's like in his late 30s, early 40s. All of his life, he has served this church and been in ministry and been the right hand to his mother, father, brothers. And they forged lies. They created a great offense. There were so many lies told against him that the police showed up at his office, escorted him outside. The press was everywhere. This has never, ever happened anywhere in the world in the history of Christendom, in the history of church organizations, that the janitor and the secretary, primarily, and other members of this board decided they were going to take over this major, almost $200 million ministry and take it, the legacy, away from the son. Now, most people with that kind of offense would be cussing, damning, swinging, irate, calling names, calling numbers. And when I saw this video that is 7 years old, and I looked at the dignity and uncompromised integrity of this young man in this great sea of offense, because not only were they taking the church of his birth and the legacy of his parents, he has four small children. He was losing his house. They were going to take his house. He was losing his car, and his wife was losing her car. And they were going from on top of the world to zero. And he stood there with the media and the world looking him in the face, surrounded by police. Tell this one more point. the Sundays, the days of worship, Wednesday night Bible study, Sunday morning service. Police came in the church in the sanctuary and stood with their hands behind their back as if we were under martial law to intimidate him and harass him. They said, I don't know if somebody figured because his brothers had died from so much stress. Maybe they were trying to kill him too. And when he wouldn't step down and he wouldn't yield to that kind of harassment and offense, they came into the office and took him out before national television. And when the reporters asked him what he had to say, with all of the dignity of meekness and sacred regard, he said these three words that blew me out of the seat as I was watching this whole documentary presentation for Black History. He said, I love all of you. What you have done in this great offense will cause me to hate you. In fact, I will love you more intensely and pray for you fervently. Who's on this radio station that could withstand that kind of slap in the face, stab in the heart, take a baseball bat, knock you out, whip you till you bleed, knowing that your world is crashing down and crushing down on your on the head of your wife and four small children? You're going from the palace to the shelter for the homeless. And when I saw that video of him telling these people who created this great offense that I love you, I will not stoop to hating you. In fact, I will pray for you more intensely, and I will love you more. He blessed them. To love someone is the greatest blessing you can render. That whole scenario started looking like something that Jesus did when Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver and brought the police to come and take him away. When Jesus saw him coming, he said, my friend, who calls your enemy to stab you in the back, that creates an offense, that takes your life? Who calls them friend? And in this work doing environmental advocacy for environmental safety, environmental health, a lot of people get shaken because when they pay those fines, that's $50,000. And now there's a big, huge banner of environmental racism. You don't like a certain race and creed of people? Just poison them. Dump sulfuric acid down an old, aged sewage system that has no backflow prevention valves. And let these gases just go back up in the houses. Million-dollar homes. Because you don't like the color of their skin or what race or creed they represent. Put chemtrails over certain people and cause nerve muscle disorders. Because you don't like where they came from, what creed they're from. Take synthetic estrogens and put it in street cleaning solutions. And use it as a weapon of mass destruction to cause hormonal imbalances so that all children are born transgender in the community. There are some heralding things happening in our environments across the world. today I release an anointing to all of you. I prophesy to the four winds around your house, around your beloved community, around your heart. And I decree and declare that you shall wear a crown, a golden crown of great rubies, sapphires, emeralds, diamonds. Because the ancient scriptures teach there is no greater love anywhere in the universe than someone who lays down their life for another human being. Somebody who loves so sacredly, so intentionally, so purposefully, until they care just as much if you live as if you were their own family member or friend. They love so passionately that just the intent of their loving makes your face smile, makes you ecstatic with joy, and heals the very marrow of your bones. Some people are so powerful in the way they care, the way they support, the way they seek to help people, that their very presence brings healing. And each and every one of you on this show tonight, each and every one of you that tuned in, has made such sacrifices for the evolution of hope in your communities to be the safest, healthiest, to resurrect life, to give joy to people. Can you imagine this woman in so much pain? Crippling pain, and nothing will bring her pain. And Lynn, you had the mitigated gall to spread your wings and care about somebody. And because of your goodwill, she's full of joy, and she's relieved, and she's full of thanksgiving, and she's full of a praise to God. Thank you for being the angel of hope. Thank you for not letting the offenses and the naysayers discourage you, because you were born, you were created to increase the value of human life. And when you see a problem, solve it. You are the champion of men. You are the king of Quebec. Only kings and queens can rise to the occasion to preserve humanity in the beloved communities. I like that, what Martin Luther King said. I didn't even know Martin Luther King had said that until I went to this Black History event. Because when we can see back to the Zulu tribe, I see you. I see your problem. I see your pain. I see your situation. And I am here because I was divinely created to increase the value of your life. I was divinely created as a sacred gift from the Most High God to be a part of the preservation of the beloved community and the sacred men, women, and children. I was created to be part of the deity that sustains quality of life. Wow. Look at all the people who you have been a gift to improve their quality of life. I think about Mario and the cows. We were up on that farm. Those cows became like human beings with Thanksgiving. When we went in there and mitigated that farm and took down that stray voltage and all that static, the cows were so happy. I did not know cows can jump. I saw with my own eyes a 2-ton cow jump a 4-foot fence. He was so ecstatic. And so, I leave you empowered. I leave you strengthened. I leave you with wisdom that when somebody, an offense comes, you respond to that offense by saying, I love you. I will not let anything cause me to stoop to hating anyone who breathes the breath that God gave. Instead, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to hope for you that your eyes can see that we will not survive. There will be no future. There will be no creed of human mankind who will be able to run these big infrastructures of government. If all of us have brain injuries, if all of us lose our ability to reason and ration, they're making robots now to think and act just like you and I. Because the future may be that robots are the president of the United States. Robots may be the members of Congress. Because we've allowed our communities to become so toxic for no reason, because of greed. My understanding is every chemical made has to have something that neutralizes it. But people do not want to spend the extra money to safeguard manufacturing with these chemicals that are so highly acidic that they're poisoning the airspace in our communities. We can do better. We can really do better. We can really do better. So I appreciate everyone being on this show tonight. Lynn, what a fabulous testimony. And now you got some more information to educate people about magnets. That you need, if you wear magnets, you need to take them off. 3 days on, 1 day off. When you wear magnets continuously beyond 30 days, you run the risk of causing calcium and a calcium imbalance in the body. And you can get a lot of calculi, calcium buildup in the joints, buildup in the kidneys, and create other challenges. Are there any other testimonies on the line? If not,
Doctor,
I want to thank
Doctor
everybody.
Lana, that doesn't affect if you have it on the cell phone, does it?
If you have what on the cell phone?
The battery.
Oh, my battery doesn't affect it at all.
No,
my
I'm saying the last statement that you made about the battery. Wearing the battery.
No, I'm talking about the magnets. Lynn was talking about the lady had a magnetic brake that went on her body.
And people
wear magnets in their shoes. And people that are wearing magnets, they need to be evaluated. They need to know if you wear a magnetic system, a band, a brace, magnetic insoles in your shoes. That can cause a calcium imbalance in your body. The nanos do not do that.
Okay, great. Gotcha, okay. Just wanted to get
the bottom balances do not do that.
Right, okay, good.
Dr. Lara.
All right.
Dr.
Yes, sir.
We have 3 guests. I'm going to put them live.
Okay.
I don't know who they are. I recognize one of the numbers.
Hello, guests. Welcome to the show tonight. Does anyone have any statement or any comment they would like to make?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Oh, okay. How you doing, Dr. Lolly? This is Angel, Destiny's mother.
Oh, Angel, I am so glad you could make it to the show tonight. Because you know, Destiny, you have a fan club. You got to get us updated. How are you doing, and how is Destiny doing?
We are doing exceptionally well. She started college And
no, you gotta
yes.
be kidding me.
Yes, she did, which is amazing to me because I would have never thought I would see the day. And not that you don't wish the best for your children or you work that hard, but you know, going from 600 seizures a day, you just hope that they're, you know, making it through. You can't put those type of expectations on them. But thanks to nanotechnology, you have changed our life, and you have been instrumental in her not just completing her senior year in high school, but completing it with AB honor roll for the first time in her life in her high school career. I know it's been a little while since I updated you, but I needed to call in so that I could give you what was going on and just let everyone know. It was another young lady that was beginning to have seizures, and I got her some nanos, and she talked about her ability to feel normal again. Because it's one thing to be, you know, if a regular human being operates at 0 to 100%, and 100% is normal, and then you have to start operating below 0, and you're in the negative, to just get back to 100 is amazing. Wow. And that's how she explains, you know, from my perspective, of how the nano has done for her. She was like, I can't say I feel over-energized because I hadn't had any energy at all, to the point where she didn't work. I mean, she wasn't doing the housework, the things around the house, able to take the children where they needed to go, and now she's able to do all those things.
Wow.
And feel normal, you know. And I said, you know, when she first, the first couple, few days she had the nanos, she said that, you know, I wouldn't have normally made it through this type of day, and I've had one of the busiest days of my life. And I probably wouldn't have made it, but I had my nanos on, and I made it, and I feel normal. And normal was better than feeling the way that she felt. And for me, I am ecstatic about what it's going to do for her. I did give her the information about autism and how radiation and EMF are affecting children and causing autism with the vaccinations with mercury. So we spoke about children not getting the vaccinations with mercury. If your house is a nano-proof, do not allow them doctors to give your kids vaccinations that have mercury in them. Vaccinations, if we had 16 growing up, we got 38 now. You got to understand, it's not about making us healthy. I never met one person in my life that said, I have a tree growing from my body part or out my eye or off my arm. You know, the Gardasil or the Garda something. Yeah, that vaccination, it wasn't, to me, to have an AIDS or HIV vaccination. That's what I think the government should be working on, not no Gardasil. What is that? I've never heard of anybody saying I have HPV. They may say HIV or HERPES. Yes. But no HPV. So for me, to take a vaccination that had that, and now they're talking about, oh, the HPV vaccine was a hoax. It was nothing. People really don't need that. Now think about all the people that got that vaccine in their body. I think what happens with society is people begin to believe that the government and everything they do has your best interest at heart, and it's not true. Don't believe anything you see, and you need to double second guess it. Because if it was as simple as I believe that it is, they would give you the cure and not try to feed you another medication that's going to affect your liver or your kidneys or your heart or another part of your body. I mean, heart is just sickening to me. So, I'm thankful for you. I appreciate you. You have done a miracle in my life. I can't even begin to tell you what you've done just for me as a parent, let alone my child that has had to endure what she's had to endure. And I'm not going to hold the show up because I'm sure it needs to go off, but
Anytime, I'm willing to testify.
And I thank you so much.
We never had the opportunity because I'm glad I'm sitting down because I'm totally blown away that Destiny is a college student. What's she majoring in?
She wants to have her own business taking care of animals, taking care of dogs that detect seizures in children that have epilepsy. So she
that
has to be able to raise dogs that protect children with epilepsy because she wanted a dog and the waiting list for anyone that wants a dog that's already trained is like 2 to 5 years. So she was like, that's what I want to do. If your dog can be your best friend and help take care of you and help you in a situation where you have a seizure and they can notify help, I want to do that. I want to help little kids so that they can feel safe again because she knows what it's like not to want to go outside and play because she's afraid of what's going to happen if she's alone. And having an animal that could get help is what she wants to do. And so if anybody's listening and has any ideas, please contact the radio station or Dr. Lolly because we would love your input, your help, or your advice.
Well, I tell you, Angel, it is such a delight to have you on the show. Does anybody have any questions for Angel?
Yes, I have one.
Go ahead.
I'm listening.
How's your brother?
My brother is doing well. I just smile when I think about him because, again, we have a young man that wasn't supposed to live to be 13 and he's 49. He'll be 50 this year. So, I mean, and he suffered 2 strokes in the last year. He's, to me, not where I think a person would be after all the strokes he suffered, all the things that he's been through in his life. He still knows who I am. He's still able to communicate with me. And I think for me to ask God to completely rearrange him and fix him would be just a complete miracle. But guess what? I'm not far-fetched from asking God for that because I've already asked him, and I'm just like, I don't know. You are staying around, and I don't believe it's for nothing. So I know that the miracle is going to come, and, you know, eventually I'm going to have even better news to tell you.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to the testimony.
And I pray that this 22nd century technology that Dr. Lolly has discovered with nanotechnology is going to be a witness to making a major change in my brother's life as well.
Well, I just wanted to let you know that I was in Maryland a couple weeks ago, and I spoke at a legislative forum for children with special needs, and the little girl that Destiny inspired, Satira, who was moaning and very emaciated. I mean, she was really, really tiny, and she could stand, but she couldn't stand long, so they couldn't get her in the bathtub. And we mitigated her home. She has gained 22 pounds. She's able to hold her weight so that they can put her in the bathtub and bathe in that oxygenated water. You wouldn't even recognize her. Developmentally, she is almost on target for where she needs to be. She is speaking now. She can dialogue and reason with you. And she is working with her doctors, talking to them, telling them which medication and treatment she wants to do and which ones that she doesn't want to do. So they are advocating. They're going to put a special investigative task force to look at these energetics. And she was the first child to get the solar. She's had solar window insulators now since September of last year. And the mother said that it was remarkable how that solar energy coming in the house and moving the airwaves and mitigating the static, it's just like her life leaped forward. She just leaped back into health and almost on developmentally, you know, she's catching up to where she should be. So when I tell them that Destiny is the college student, there may be hope for Satira also. This is just blowing me out of the river. So thank you, Angela, for being on and sharing that information. Is there any other listener that would like to share anything? Just push one and unmute your phone and say hello to us. I never know who drops in, so.
They're already live.
Go ahead.
They're live.
Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. We have a fabulous engineer that's anticipating your need. Well, if no one else has anything to share, Mario Rod, do we have anything from Canada, from the farm?
Not yet from
okay.
the farm, but I'm working on it.
Okay. Ida, you got to tell us about the African American Museum. I want to go. I hope to get to Washington in May to go.
It's awesome.
What did you do when you went there? Tell us about one of your favorite exhibits.
When they have it divided in sections, and on the lower level, they tell you that, you know, a little bit about the lower level, but the lower level starts about the 14th century. I mean, or 1400. And just getting off the elevator and seeing where we came from and the lifestyle that we lived before coming to America and the spirit of the people that was captured in the photograph or the painting that they had there, that just brought me to tears.
Wow.
You know, it just moved me, and you could feel the spirits as you walked by the pictures, and it was just, I was in awe.
Wow.
Totally.
Wow. Wow. Wow, well, thank you for sharing. I've heard so many good things. And the last time I was in Washington, I went past the museum. I couldn't believe the lines.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like five lines that wrapped around the building three times. The massive. They said it's the most visited museum in the world.
Wow, I can believe it.
Thousands
and thousands.
It had more visitors than any other museum in the world. Certainly in D.C., so I know it's, how did you get tickets? They say the tickets are backed up for months.
April 5th will be the next day when they issue tickets for July.
Oh, well.
They had an issue date on March 1st, and that was for the month of June. If you live
wow.
in D.C. or have access to D.C. within, you know, a few minutes or whatever, or hour or so, you could go online and get a same-day pass starting at 6:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Or you could walk up to the Madison Street side entrance and get a walk-in same-day ticket at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So they have
wow.
two ways you can get daily tickets. But if you live out of town and you have to travel, the next day, the next date that they will issue tickets is April 5th. And that will be for the month of July.
Wow. Well, thank you for that information. I look forward. Everyone that has gone to that museum has said two things about it. They said, number one, it was so massive
Yeah.
And the exhibits were so excellent and detailed with information that there's no way you can do that whole museum in one day.
It's so true.
And the next thing they see, the exhibits, you know, the guy that the engineer, I didn't realize President Bush was the one that legislated that museum. I thought it was President Obama, but it wasn't. He started it, and Obama finished it. And the curator of that museum, the director of the museum, they say he's so highly decorated as a historian and a curator of art that they were able to bring together families from all over the world that had various artifacts and memorabilia that allowed them to span centuries of time and capture the very heartbeat of the African American community from Africa all the way to the White House. Right. Did they have an exhibit on Barack Obama in there?
Yes, they did. They did.
Wonderful.
I don't think it was a total. I didn't see it all, but they brought us back up to, I think 2012, or something.
Okay.
You know, from 1400 to 2012. And it did include President Obama, but I didn't get to see that because there's so much.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much, you know. And when you get down on those lower levels, it's just so much. And even on the top levels, it's just.
Wow.
And I got stuck in the vacation homes, you know, the beaches that African Americans were allowed to go to that no longer exist anymore because of integration.
Wow.
And,
wow,
you know, the lifestyle that they lived back then, that it's just a lot.
Now, you wonder, you know, how we were able to sustain and overcome all the offenses out of slavery into modern day. The grace of God, you know, and with that fire, with that hope, we journey forward. Because now, if we do not change, as Martin Luther King said, the question is, if we don't stop to help someone, the question is not what will happen to us. The question is, what will happen to them? And as we talked about last week, SIDS, in a community where more children are dying, so many masses of children are dying in the first 6 months of life, and there's no intentional effort to mobilize community to really look at environmental factors as well as other factors that are causing these newborns to die. If we don't take our little part and say, well, let's look at the wall behind the bed, the question is not what will happen to us. The question is, what will happen to the future in these children who God gave to us as a gift to sustain us? Because the hour will surely come, if we live long enough, well, we will need the strength of their bodies and they will need the wisdom of our minds. And on that note, I say goodnight to my beloved community. I thank every single one of you for being on this line tonight. I want you to hold this weekend on Sunday, March the 18th, Morgan Lee, the little girl that discovered that the nanos will stop seizures, will be receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Hope for Change Arena in Cincinnati. She's getting this Global Service Award that was initiated by Senator Kennedy, and she is the honorary mayor over the Global Youth Services Activities in Cincinnati and she will be the guest of honor, one of them, at this event that was choreographed by children. It's a catwalk fashion show choreographed by a 9-year-old to raise money for children with cancer at the University of Cincinnati. It's phenomenal what is happening this weekend. And Mark Morgan is one of the first youth, she is the first youth, to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award, an award that most people don't get till they're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. She will be receiving at the tender age of 13.
Wow.
So I'm excited about what's happening with Morgan this weekend. Also hold April 3rd. There's an EMF conference, an environmental health conference in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the Pittsburgh Airport Marriott Hotel, 777 A10 Road. The events, there's several of the events taking place all day long. But if any of you are in the Pittsburgh area, they're going to be having an award ceremony. Two or three of them that day, various activities, because the conference starts at 1. I think the awards dinner is at 5:30 or 6. But on that day, there's going to be some type of media live streaming so you can stream in. But we're going to be part of that in some aspect. And all of you, several of you sent me names of people that definitely should be celebrated. But I just want to give all of you, this whole radio team that has engineered and orchestrated, everybody's getting an award this year, because I couldn't be Dr. A without all of you carrying my voice, and the voice is getting ready to get louder because some things are being put in place that I'm so excited about. WBLK in Dallas, Texas, 99.3, I believe, is doing a big nano promotion on Sunday. And so it was pre-recorded last week with Miss Heather Jo Johns, and I'm excited about her making her debut. And she got her letter this week that she can petition the Board of Regents for her baccalaureate degree in business administration from Ashland University, which is owned by the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. I forget which one. But anyway, Heather's graduating.
All right. Congratulations.
I am so proud of her. We just ecstatic with joy that this day has finally come. So having said all of that, good night, everyone. I love and celebrate you, and I thank you for being in my life. Be strong. And
good night,
bless them with what you do. Good night.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Love you, mother. Hello.